The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today, we're getting near the end of March already. Gosh, 3/24/2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out our three brand new products. We're still working some of the kinks out, but you go out and look at everything. They are orderable. The first one is the Winner's Circle. There's 12 recorded audio clips that I did. Well, I shouldn't say clips. Each one's about a half an hour. I go into a lot of the stuff that we do here at FBC. Everything is very easily explained to folks, et cetera, et cetera. Then the next one we are out, it's called Educator Teacher, which is soon going to be, changed to Teacher Student. And then we have Etched in Stone, which is a product that's geared more towards men. Right now, we have three women that are going to be following up after the men, and then we're going to be doing some pretty interesting things with the kids, too. But Etched is really something that if a lot of you guys out there in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s are struggling with, especially if you are having testosterone issues, a lot of things changing, and you can't figure things out, or you've been to a doctor and you got nowhere, we've got a program that will definitely, and I mean definitely, change the whole perspective of your life. I've done this with numerous clients here, and if you've been following Dennis, who originally came here at 271 pounds, in 6 weeks he's down to 243. I'll get a weight tomorrow when he's here, so we'll see. I'm sure he's below that now. We used a lot of body weight. We still do for warming up. And obviously, you know my opinion on the power rack. All stuff that worked. But until we implemented these different forms of sandbags and stones, et cetera, and put them together in one nice little package, it really didn't get them moving till we got this going. And this is where the exact thing that I'm going to be doing with him is what we're marketing right now, and some. We'll have him down to 200 pounds by the end of June, barring injury or anything like that, which we will not get and we want to avoid. So check those three products out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also on MotivationMuscle.com, go out /category/podcast. We got our good friend Melody Schoenfeld coming in momentarily. Just look at all of the podcasts I have done with Melody. As I say, we're getting closer and closer to 700 podcasts out there. This is only a little over 2 years, and I've worked very diligently to build this brand, and we're positioned very well right now with it, and we're going to keep growing because the goal very soon, I'd like to have it by the end of the year, if not the first quarter of 18, we want 100,000 downloads per month. That would be monumental, and that would definitely enrich everything here. So we've got big, big goals here, and we're going to fulfill every one of them. Before I bring Melody in, I've been reading excerpts out of different books, and anybody that knows this one that I read morning and night is out of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. And I love to read The Sons of Sisyphus, which is chapter 33, pages 106 and 107. I'm going to read the last paragraph, then I'm going to read the line our good friend Steve Jack wrote in the book, and it goes like this. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, the struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Well, we got Melody here, who is no man. She is a woman. And we're going to maybe, I want to get her opinion a little bit on that. But we're gonna get into two things. If you follow her out on Facebook, which if you don't, and she's still can get people to come in to her, you know, like her page. Go out and look at this. Besides being a hell of a lifter, believe me, my admiration is very full on that with her. But I love it. She tears phone books, and if you go out today, she's got this massive book that she's looks like maybe a quarter of a way through, and she can correct me on that when we bring her in. And someone sent her a bunch of license plates, and I can't wait. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into how she prepares, what she feels you need to do, because obviously you need some weight training too, or whatever it is to get those fingers and everything else just super powerful. But before I bring her in, I'm going to give you a little information on Melody. Number one, she is an entrepreneur, a power lifter, a strong woman, a bender, and a metal singer. And I know she is the owner and proprietor of Evil Monkey, I hope I say it right, Enterprises. If yep. not, she can correct me on that too. Melody, welcome back. It's a blast to have you back. I always enjoy our shows.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Same here. Give out your websites, anything I missed on your bio, and we're going to get into a hell of a topic today.
Yeah, well, my websites are flawlessfitness.com, and then Evil Monkey is EvilMunky Enterprises, so it's ENT.com, so EvilMunkyENT.com.
Hey,
so
just for the heck of it, and I got a feeling probably why you did it, maybe I'm totally off base, Monkey, why'd you spell it like that? To model that where it was a little bit different, or what, is there some story behind that?
I just like the way it looked.
I think it looks good too. I like the way you spelled it, but I was like, I wonder what was going on in her head. Was it a because I, you know, a lot of people do stuff like that. Just say, you know, I like that. It's cool.
Yeah.
Do you got everything out?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I said, I'm a big fan of yours, anyways. But I love this tearing and bending and breaking and all that anyways. Let's talk about the phone books, the evolution of, well, let me ask you this. Did you start initially, was it more the metal you were ripping and bending, or did we get into the phone books later, or were they both generally at the same time?
I started with long steel bending.
Okay.
That was the first thing I was introduced to that I really felt good about.
Yep.
And the other stuff I had a real hard time with short bending, and all that stuff was real hard for me. Mm-hmm. And then at some point I just kind of went, I'm going to try it again. And I tried it again and it went really well.
And that's the nice thing. All right. So you're doing all the different forms of bending. Now, mm-hmm. does that gravitate into the phone books, the license plates? What's like the evolution of that? And then let's go into what you had to do, obviously, to make your hand stronger. Because you can tell everyone, Melody is not a 6'2" giant from Iceland, okay? she's pretty petite, but she's goddamn strong. So let's just get into that a little bit. Let's see how you evolve, what you felt you needed to do, obviously, because most people aren't going to walk in and start tearing phone books in half. So take it away, please.
Yeah, no, well, I'm 5 feet tall and 104 pounds.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so great, man.
The strong man from Iceland.
yep. No, and you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, it's not some 6'2" giant woman. All right, it's someone that is very small in today's world, especially when they talk about strength. It's always these, you know, especially males. I mean, Half Thor, all these guys, Brian Shaw, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But there's an awful lot of people that might not be 6'8" that are walking around that sure can, you know, pop a punch. So go ahead, take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I started out because I met a guy named Bud Jeffries. You know Bud, right?
Sure, he's on the show.
Yeah, and Bud had kind of talked me into competing in powerlifting. I didn't think I was strong enough to compete. I thought I had to be able to pull through a triple body weight in order to compete. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, I was like, well, until I can do that, I am not going to. And he's like, what, are you kidding me? He's like, why would you do that? And he talked me to competing, and thank goodness he did, because I still can't pull triple body weight.
Yeah, right.
And he introduced me to bending. I had seen him do it, and I was like, okay, well, let me try that. And the long bending, I got real good at real quick.
Okay.
And the other stuff was hard. Like, I could not figure out the phone books at all. I couldn't figure out the short bending at all. And so I just never did it. I just kept doing long bending. I really liked that. And then I had a little white nail from Iron Mind that I kept in my bag all the time, and I would just work at it from time to time.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure out how that worked. So I just never got a kink in it even.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met a couple other strong men. Sorry, my brain is just shut off.
That's all right. That's okay. Not a problem.
I met a couple other strong men, and they kind of worked with me on the short bending, and then all of a sudden something clicked.
Yep.
And it melted in my hands, and I worked up to a green nail in a very, very short amount of time. So right now my best nail bend would be, I've been a 50D. I've been a 60D, but I only did it once.
that's still good. I mean, that's real good. All right, so obviously you're getting stronger and stronger. So what, I mean, obviously you had a lot of trouble with the phone books initially. So what, I mean, tell everybody out there, what is it you felt you had to do, or was it just, had you gone back to it again after not doing it for a while and suddenly?
I came back to it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I figured it out. The same guy who showed me the nails.
Yep.
Like, I just worked on the phone book, and like, I just picked one up and tore it. And that had not happened before. So I think I had just built a lot of strength from the other stuff I was doing.
Okay. Well, all right. So the other stuff, was it mainly grip work? I mean, what was it, you know?
A lot of grip work, yep. A lot of powerlifting. Yep. I was playing around with some strongman stuff, you know, with the stones and things like that. And all of a sudden it just went. So.
Well, you know, and I think too, we've had this discussion multiple times with a lot of the big stone lifters in the world on here. One thing I can tell you this, well, everybody's got a different style of getting stronger to lift stones, all right? And I know this isn't about stones, but it does coincide with what you were doing too to get your fingers and everything stronger, obviously your grip. Bill Crawford, who's probably one of the best stone lifters in the world, I know in the United States, without a doubt, he stresses over and over again, the best way to get your fingers strong, 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 is to take natural stones or whatever you got and push your fingers right through them to hold, or do a bent row with them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I fully agree, because I do them all the time, because a thing that's really amazing, and we've talked about this on other shows, and Bill has a lot of these guys over to lift stones. Some have, some haven't. Some are, you know, well, the majority of anybody going over there is going to have a big pull, et cetera, et cetera. And believe it or not, a lot of these guys with big, big deadlifts, they can't lift the stone. Or if they do and get it to the lap, they can't do anything else with it. And they get very upset about that. And the thing I learned going away multiple times was this. I don't care how strong you are through everywhere. I mean, and we know you've got it, have it in the hip girdle, the shoulder girdle, obviously the spinal, the whole deal. I got it. And so does everybody else. But the point of failure is really your fingers. Because mm-hmm. if you, especially with the stuff like when I go over to Iceland and go to Scotland this year, there's no doubt in my mind, if I don't have fingers that can literally dig into a stone that doesn't have any of the crevices or handholds, as they call them, to get them in. And it does make a difference when you go to pull one of these beasts. If you get it off the ground, chances are, even if you do, you're not going to walk it very far, because that is the breaking point right there. So
yeah.
That was the first thing. Now, Martin Janzix, who is a stone machine from Scotland, and probably Martin might be in the top three of the best guys I've ever talked to or seen. And he'll tell me over and over again, Eric, you want to get good as a stone lifter, go out and flip a 500-pound tire for an hour straight. And he's not BSing when he says it, because this guy's so dedicated to doing stuff like that. He'll take his car out in the field at night with the lights on. He'll go back into it, and the battery's dead. So you know what I mean? These guys are like the real deal. So what do you feel? I mean, obviously you did some stone lifting. If there was one thing, and I know a lot of people say there's always more than one thing, what do you feel, though, that you've done, even if it's the top two or three, that has really got your grip to the point where now you can take and shred phone books? And then we're going to talk a little bit about the license plates, because I always think of that picture of Bill Pearl that was on Milo many years ago twisting a license plate. You talk about an awesome shot. So take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's one thing that I've been doing that's better than anything else. I do a lot of farmer carries. I do a lot of heavy deadlifting, partial deadlifts, stuff like that.
Sure.
And, you know, I do some standard grip work. So I do, like, fingertip pull-ups.
Yep.
And, you know, I have, like, those things that rock climbers use, those kind of rock grips. I use those for pull-ups.
Yep.
I have those big they're like kind of hanging, like different kind of hanging shapes. I have like a couple of balls, and
okay.
I have a couple of like kind of cylinders that I'll hang from and do pull-ups with. But I don't know that any one of those things really translates over to what you need to tear a phone book. It's different.
Okay.
And the thing that's gotten me stronger in tearing phone books is just
tearing phone books. Yeah. Obviously. So, that's like Shemansky. I can remember reading that quote and hearing people say all the time, you know, people would walk up to him and say, how do I get my overhead press bigger and stronger? He said, press.
Exactly.
And I know that, you know something, and that makes total sense in a lot of ways, because I think especially in today's world, and I know there's things we can definitely get into with that, people never look at the simple or the obvious, I think, a lot of times. It's like you convolute things. You overanalyze. I get this with a lot of people, whether they come here and train with me. I train them for, you know, to get in better shape. Or even I talk to people offline on the show. There seems to be this constant, you know, drive to add more things to the mix, and adding more things doesn't mean that you're going to get better or make it a better lift or a tear or whatever. What do you see? I mean, you train people. Obviously, you're around all this stuff. Do you ever get the feeling there's just too much analytical or too much? You know, I had somebody say to me one day, they were really starting to get into some rack work, okay? And there's stuff out there, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, I need to go watch more YouTube. And I'm like, no, you don't. And they're like, yeah, just one more. I'm like, no, you don't. I said, what you need to do is you can seek any of us out. There are people here that know how to use a power rack. All right, there's people from this show. They're really the only few that I know that mess around with it like that. You can go to them. You can watch their video, but, you know, you really got to get in there, make sure you're safe, and start.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm like, you know, so that's what I went. So in your experiences especially, do you find that a lot with people that I just need to talk to you one more time, Melly, or can you take me through it? I mean, why? Why is it? Is it the lack of confidence? Is it just, I don't know. Is it maybe we don't want it bad enough? What do you see with stuff like that, too?
You mean, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, like, do you feel that people are just a little bit too analytical, even the people you've dealt with, that instead of kind of getting in there and skinning your knee, so to speak, they just want to watch one more thing or read one more? You know what I mean?
I don't really see a lot of that,
no?
I think. I see a lot of, although I do get a lot of people who have just watched a lot of YouTube and their technique sucks, and then you have to reteach them.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a lot of people who just, it's basically, it comes down to, they're either afraid of it or they're not afraid of it.
I agree.
I think,
yep.
You know, and
yep.
And fear will stop you from doing a lot of things. And one of the things I work with on my clients a lot, because I have a lot of clients who are afraid of the weights.
Yep.
And so a lot of my clients, we just work through mental blocks of lifts.
Yep.
Because I have this one client who she wants to lift heavy so bad, but she's terrified of those weights. And so I had to talk her through all these mental exercises to get her over these blocks.
Yep.
And then she went from pressing a 45 pound, because she could barely press the naked bar.
Okay.
And now she's pressing around 85.
Wow.
Bench. And she couldn't I mean, she couldn't even get her head around it before.
Yeah, so. I totally agree with that. I've had a little bit more analytical, but the mental end where you're talking about is really critical because, you know, weightlifting for a long time, and it is today to a point, it's still got a bad rap on it. I mean, yeah, I know it's been introduced all through sports. You know, you look at the high school level. You know, my brother-in-law is a high school football coach, varsity. You know, it's, you know, the tires, the farmers, all the basic things. You know, myself, there's other things I'd like to do, but you can't do it with the kids because of litigation. That's the tragic thing about a lot of it. But, yeah, the mental stumbles, the mental blocks, and another big thing, too, is this, because I hear it enough, and I see it, and I love going and watching games, you know, football games when my brother-in-law is coaching and things like that. You know, it's very interesting. You sit in the bleachers or you go to, like, the fence and listen. You know, you listen to the chatter alone out of the parents, and I'm sitting, mm-hmm. standing there, and I'm wondering, why are these kids all screwed up? And the biggest thing I can tell you is this. It's that vicarious living through your kids. I mean, you know, to me, a lot of it is just way over, you know, way overdone, way too much. And I would never say that to anybody, but let's face it. What's the percentage you think of a high school kid going to a Division I college? That's fairly, that 1%, 2%, I don't know. And I'm not saying don't be the best you can be and give everything you got. I'm all for that. I would never talk anybody out of wanting to better themselves. But I fully agree with you. That human chatter, whether it's family, friends, coaches, all these things, it gets people very confused. And what it ends up doing is becoming counterproductive. And they become less confident in everything they do. And that to me is really a point of contention, with especially when you got to train people one-on-one. Because that baggage never seems to go away until you can take and start overriding all these. And this takes a long time. You know, if you're 40 years old, the majority of 40-year-olds have had who knows what said to them or what they've said to other people. If they're big in the media, television, all that, you've got a million things roaming around in your head. Plus, I've had this said to me, I don't know about you, but I mean, I wish I had $100 for everybody that said to me, why do you want to do that? Or why do you want to go there? Or why do you want to lift that? Or it's a waste of time and all that. And if you're constantly being fed this stuff, you're going to have, like you're talking, these mental blocks, these things we got to keep working through. And I think that's more, I think in today's world, and I don't know, it just seems like it's out there more. And I don't know if it's always been like that or it's just because of the mass media we got. Go ahead and comment on anything on that.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything to add to that.
Oh, my God. Nothing? Okay. That's all right. That's not a problem. Then let's talk about, you know, obviously the license plates. That's a great thing. And I love how people sent you some. When did that come about? Was that all around the same time with the?
I just started doing it this year.
Oh, awesome!
That was one of my goals this year. I was like, all right, I want to be able to tear a license plate up, and so I started collecting plates from people, and I got a couple pointers from my friend David Whitley.
Yep.
And I'm still not at the point where I can tear the plate without cutting. I make like about a eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch cut in the plate.
Okay.
And then I tear it from there. I'm not at the point where I can do it without the cut yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
But I do a lot of isometrics with that.
Okay. Now, for anybody that's not familiar with, and I know it's pretty self-explanatory, obviously, but just describe. I mean, we got a car license plate, make a little cut in it. Now, when you're doing that, are you pushing against the front of your thigh? Just give a little visual to people how you'd set this up and rip through the plate.
So what I personally do is I brace one of my elbows inside my thigh.
Okay.
And then, you know, if you're going to do this, you need to wear long sleeves and you need to wear really good, thick gloves because the plate becomes razor sharp when you tear it.
Yep.
So it's a risk. So anyway, yeah, I braced an elbow on inside one of my legs, and you put your hands real close together on the plate, and then you just push them in towards each other. That's essentially what it is.
Okay, yeah.
And then once I get to a certain point, then I just tear it like a phone book the rest of the way.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that stuff is just, I think that stuff is awesome. I mean, there's just, you know what I want to, and I'm serious, before I leave the earth, I'm going to do this because I've always wanted to do it. I know it's all breathing. It's stuff I got to practice and all that, but I always have wanted to wrap a chain around my chest and break it.
Oh, yeah. I do that with cuffs.
Do you really?
Yeah, I break chains with cuffs, yeah.
No kidding. All right. Well, there's something else I've never seen. So literally, are we talking like if you're handcuffed, is that what you're doing?
There are cuffs that go up around my upper arms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually did it in a show a couple weeks ago, or last week. No, last week, yeah. Right. For my Iron Maiden band, for The yep. Prisoner, I did it for that.
All right, so give everybody a visual of that, please.
Well, the cuffs go around my upper arms.
Okay.
And then I link them with the chain.
Okay.
And then I put my hands kind of on one of my legs.
Yep.
And then I just push my arms apart until the chain breaks.
That's awesome. Oh, is that out on your page?
Yeah.
All right, I got to go out and look at that after we're done. I didn't know. Usually, I catch all that stuff. I didn't catch that one. That had to do something to the crowd, huh?
You know what? It was so anticlimactic. I don't know what was happening. I think they thought it was like a fake chain or something.
Jeez, man, I thought that would set the damn place on fire.
I thought so too. I was kind of bummed.
But, you know, when it all comes down to this, obviously, you know, you talked about people you train and confidence and all that. Tell everybody, I mean, you and I both know to go out and do these things, you got to have a hell of a lot of backbone and confidence. And just, and I think this is very important, especially, you know, we've got a lot of women listening to the show now, a lot of kids. Obviously, we have the men here. But my whole point is this. Tell everybody a little bit about how you approach things, because you know something? The first time I lifted a stone, yeah, I went up to it like I owned it, but I knew in the back of my mind it could take and dislocate everything on me. And
oh, yeah.
You always have a little bit of apprehension. I think a lot of people – see, we had Charlie Oliphant from Scotland on the other night, and we got talking about that with confidence and how even if you're very, very good at what you do – and I said that to him too. I said – I remember the first time I walked up to a big stone in Iceland. Anybody that tells you that, oh yeah, I didn't have anything going on in me. I knew I was going to directly pick that up off the ground. They're full of crap. Because I'll tell you one thing: I don't care if you're the top of the echelon, in the middle, or down, just starting. You always have a little bit of apprehension. I don't care how many times you bled out in your backyard and you're ready to go. When you walk up, and I think there, if you're not feeling a little nervousness, you're not alive, man. Because when you walk up to something, whatever it is, whether it's snapping the chains, tearing a phone book in pieces, ripping license plates in half, or going and lifting a stone that could just break you in half, you have a little bit. So talk to everybody. Tell everybody, because I like this. This is the human side of training you don't hear a lot. And a lot of guys, I can tell you guys in general, don't want to ever admit that, man, I walked up to that stone and, like, my throat was down in my stomach. So go ahead. Take it away, Melody.
No, I mean, you're going to basically – it's not a comfortable thing.
Yeah.
When I first started bending nails for a while, I had trigger points all over my hands.
Ooh.
Like, it was so, so painful. My hands would hurt for days.
Yep.
But it was important enough to me to get the skill down that I just sucked it up.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. I mean, I bitched about it, but I sucked it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I went right back to it the next week, and then I would get the trigger points again. And then after a while, I stopped getting trigger points. It's not a comfortable thing. Lifting stones scrapes up your arms. Even with my sleeves on, I still scrape my arms up.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, you get bruised and banged up, and you know, bracing a piece of long steel on your leg gives you a bruise for sure. And tearing up phone books. I mean, yeah, it's not pretty, but it's, I mean, to me, it's fun, and I love doing it, and it's just, yeah, it's just what I do.
It's very satisfying, I'll tell you that. And for all, and that's what we're going to find out. Dale Dugas, who's on here, and he's a martial arts guy, and they do a lot of stuff with topical things, and a lot of it's for, you know, a lot of the martial artists who really damage themselves up. And when David Whitley was on here a few weeks ago, he said to me offline, you got to get a hold of Dale, because I guess he sends David these liniments, right? So we've really struck a good rapport, and he's going to send me some to try and see what happens, and a few other things.
Like Jigga Jab or something?
What's that?
Like the Chinese?
Yes, yep. Yeah. Let me just do something quick. I'm going to keep talking because I want everybody to know where they can get a hold of this stuff, because Dale is a hell of a guy, and he's very good. In fact, I know you know this guy. He told me he works with Matt Fury's son, who's quite a good baseball player. They're all from Florida, and he was talking about, you know, a lot of things with that, what they do. But if you go out to DaleDugas.com, everyone, and I'm not getting a thing for this, all right? I want, because we're going to be talking about this stuff, I want to help anybody out there in athletics with this stuff, and the stuff is absolutely phenomenal. But as he said, you know, you try it and you tell me what you think it is. But if you go out there, it's got all the different types of liniments they use, and he's an acupuncturist, and he's just a hell of a good guy. And one of the things he was saying, Melody, was, you know, you and I both know when you wrap your arms around a stone, I don't care what it is, you get a lot of damage. I mean, you already said that. We know that. And the bruising, the cuts, I mean, I was doing stuff the other day with the steel stones, didn't wear anything on the forearms. All I had was some Johnson's tape that went up to maybe a quarter of an inch on my forearm. I had road rash all over the inside of my forearms. And you're going to get that, because that steel stone wants to murder you, literally. And mm-hmm. And that's all right. Look, I'm not complaining. I know that's part of the deal here. But you know what I also know? The more damage you inflict on those areas when you can possibly save them from a lot of that, you know what that means? That means you don't lift stones maybe in 2 days. Because you and I both know I've had gashes in my arms, cuts, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I don't care how quick of a healer you are. Put something like that in your arms and grab it and walk with it and see how long it's going to last. You're going to either open stuff up again or not. Now, what Dale conveyed to me was, not only will this help heal you much quicker, but it really goes in after the ligaments and tendons, and it loves the bone and muscle. So I'm very mm-hmm. anxious for this stuff to arrive, because right now I'm going to be going either every other day or every 2 days stone lifting. I mean, obviously weights with it, but I'm going to do it for a month and basically build everything around the stone day. So whatever I do with the weights will obviously have to be, you know, cut down a little bit to emphasize the stone. But what I'm really interested in is when I'm walking 95 feet with all different size stones, I can't wait to put that stuff on, because one of the things that I'm going to be doing, and I do it with other things, is I'm going to be running that stuff on me when we're training. Because I'll never forget years ago, and yesterday we got a brand new page here called Etched in Stone, and it's all dedicated just to heavy iron, stones, everything. It's really people are digging it. And one of the things I put up yesterday, Anthony DiTillo to me was the power rack guy. I got the books all from Bill Hinburn that he wrote, and also I went out from Bill at the time and got every Perry Rader Iron Man I could about Anthony. And if people don't know, Anthony wrote a few years for Milo magazine. That's Randall Strassen's magazine. And I'll never forget, one of the things he talked about was they were really going nuts building calves. And I was like, yeah, and you're looking at these programs they're doing, and the thing was pretty cool. They would keep rubbing liniment on the calf, and then they'd measure it, and, you know, the calf might come up 2 inches. Obviously, it's not going to hold the 2 inches once the blood flow goes down in the morning, but he said they were able to, like, put a half an inch on your calf doing that. So all those things there I love doing because it's going to be fun to be putting that liniment on my arms. The only thing I wear, you know, the elbow sleeves because when I tore the bicep and fixed it, I still want to have something keeping that left arm. And I run a left and right arm, but it's nothing to pull those things down and put more of that stuff on. So I'm very excited and very interested to see and give him some feedback because, you know, obviously I put major demands on myself, but especially when I'm carrying. And now that we're going to start carrying much, much more, it'll be very interesting. So that's something everybody should maybe think about. I'm not getting anything from Dale. I'm just trying to help everybody out there. I know that a lot of us get beaten up pretty good, and we're always looking for a way to recover, so that's a great way to do it. What do you do? I mean, when you're this is a great – to me, this is a great question to ask you. What are you doing to make your hand – you know, I read an interesting thing too, and I'll get right to you. Everybody thinks, well, if, you know, tough hands, calluses, and we know what a problem they can be, especially if you open one up deadlifting or whatever. What and a lot of guys are saying, and it's not in a way that's making them sound feminine in any way, but a lot of guys are saying now that you should keep your hands very supple, very pliable. What do you do for your hands when you're really engaged with this stuff heavily?
Well, if my calluses are getting out of hand, I file them down.
Yep.
And lots of lotion, you know. And then other than that, you know, you just make sure you don't have any cracks in your hands.
Yeah.
And I don't do the tearing more than maybe maximum twice a week.
Okay. Okay.
It's very, very neurally intensive, so you don't want to overdo it.
Okay.
You know, and especially with all the other lifting I do, you know, it's pretty easy to overdo it. So I only do it like once a week, maybe twice a week if I really feel like it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I think that's smart because, and not only that, you know what I always say, super glue is your best friend. I mean, I always have a tube of that in the garage, man.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because if I get any type of tears or anything, I super glue it and it holds it together. And then what I do is I get in, make sure I clean it real well, and I'll put super glue on it again rather than a band. My buddy is a a sheetrock guy among every other thing. And I can't remember what he did. And because I told him that, and he used to start doing that. And I can't remember what he did to himself at a job site. And he said he really thought it required stitches, but he kept super gluing Band-Aids on it, and it shut the – it healed it, literally, all right? I'm not saying try to put your leg together with super glue, but I always have that there because it saved me on more than one occasion because all you got to do is split something and then try to train with it. And you know with a deadlift – you know, you split a callus open, that is going to be mighty painful, and you're not going to be holding the bar very long with any substantial weight. So, yes, I agree with you. I try to, well, I don't say try, I do take very good care of my hands and feet because I think those are two places that we just take for granted, and a lot of people don't pay attention to those two parts of the body. Where would we be without our hands and feet? We'd be nothing. You know, we'd be like stubbles. That, you know, like that's it. So due to I can't remember, and I'm trying to think of his name. He used to always talk. Dr. Bob Weil, big foot guy, you know, involved with everything with the feet, and him coming on here was really what got me very, very interested and very thoughtful of my feet, because if you think about it, how much of the stuff do we do doesn't drive through your feet? And if they're not in good shape, you know, we're in trouble. That's not a good thing to do. If you were going to tell somebody, let's put you back to when you started, and someone's, you know, let's just say they get 5 to 10 years of weightlifting experience under their belt, male or female. What would be a good program you would suggest for them to get started with? And you know, obviously we know we want to make our grip good, our fingers, all that stuff. Just give something basic out to everybody listening that you would suggest, Melody.
For a grip training?
Yeah, well, to start, maybe they want to get into tearing phone books or maybe the license plate. So how would
I would say, you know, if you're going to start with, you know, start with a magazine,
yep,
or something light, you yep know, and just work on your form and then just work up from there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's pretty basic and,
it's like any other kind of lift. Yeah. You know, you start where you're at and then you keep going from there.
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is, like I said before, you know, most people are never going to buy something like that. So, all right, what do I got to do it? But it makes perfect sense because start with a magazine and gravitate a little up, a little up. You know what I like to do for grip, especially? I like to get a magazine. You know, it can't be obviously the binding's real stiff. Or I've even done it like with a Sunday paper where you get those inserts in them that are kind of thick. I love taking those things and just twisting them left, you know, with your hands. Go back and forth, twist and twist and twist. I think that right there is a great way to improve your grip, your hands, and everything. I do that quite a bit. I mean, if you don't mind newsprint on you or whatever is on the magazine, you know, and I could care less. I mean, I want to.
You can do it with a towel, too.
Exactly. Towel. Mm-hmm. And we've done them, too, where we'll stick them in a bucket of water, like a not quite a bath towel, like an in-betweener that's fairly thick. Or I'll go down to, I'm not going to say their name, I'm not going to give them advertising, but I'll go down to one of the local, I always say I go to these places, but I got to be very careful because I'm afraid they snatch my brain when I go in there. The places, I walk in there, I got to get a towel, and I practically run out. I'm like, oh, my God, man. You know, people are running over you, trying to run over with you with a cart and all that stuff. I just go down there because it's cheap, and if I ruin a towel, I don't care. I'm not going to take my good towels from my house and do them. But I used to like to take a towel, say a mid-range towel. You could use it for, you know, the bath. And throw it in a big, deep bucket of water like a car wash bucket. Get it as wet as you could and start squeezing it out. You want to talk about some grip work then. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to like to do that and just grab bricks. Regular, you know, house bricks. The red ones, that style. And just right. And just grip them. That's what I do with my little niece and nephew. I let them grab one brick and they hold it for time. It's pretty fun. That and I have them always doing like underhand, overhand on the end of a picnic table.
Mm-hmm. Real,
I mean, you know, they're little hands. They're like 6 and 8 years old. I mean, they're not big hands. But, man, what a great way to improve anyone's grip, especially a little kid. I guess we're getting near the end. Let's what do you see? I mean, I love you. Everybody's got goals. What's the big goals with the phone books? I saw what you had there, obviously. That was a monster phone book, but for anybody that didn't see that picture that you're working on to get through, that and obviously is the license plate without putting a little bit of edge in it. Is that going to be a doable this year?
Yeah, I think so. I'm getting close.
Okay.
I just did a Texas plate, a Nevada plate, which is about 2 times the thickness of the California plates that I've been doing. So that's.
Well, I mean, and that's the only way to, I didn't even think of license plates thicker and thicker, but I'm sure every state, they're different ones that are.
They are, yeah, just like horseshoes, you know, depending on who makes them, they're different.
Well, here's the thing. If anybody's asking for license plates, I know it said there they sent them to you. Is there anywhere, can you go to a motor vehicle? Will they let you have, I mean, where could you get them?
You can get them on eBay.
Oh, you can? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Everybody knows that. Now, that big monster phone book you're tearing in you, and you're going to get through it, obviously. How long do you think that's going to take to do? What do you think?
That's a good question. It's, you know, it's really big for my little hands.
Yep.
You know, it's a tough one. But I don't know. You know, I'm hoping I'll get through it in a couple weeks.
Awesome. That's it. Yeah. And then maybe you get to the point where you can grab one of those things and rip it in two, huh?
That's the goal, man.
Damn, that's some good stuff. I'm telling you right now, that's some good stuff. Why don't you give out all your information if you want? If there's anything you want to summarize for our family here, you're more than welcome to. I'll give out my information, and we'll be all set.
Yeah. Well, again, my website is flawlessfitness.com, and also the Evil Monkey, MUNKYENT.com, and then. Yeah, and I'm very Facebookable and all that fun junk. So,
You know, and tell everybody, I know Evil Monkey, the dumbbells, the maces and stuff, but What basically do you have out there if they're interested in going out looking? What's something that people would like to possibly purchase from you? What do you have?
Well, you know, we do everything custom.
Okay.
So as a general rule, if it can be made out of metal, we can probably do it. We don't do much in the way of molded things like yep. Kettlebells, but we do a lot of fillable. Like we did a actually we did a fillable kettlebell for someone.
Okay.
But we'll do fillable dumbbells, barbells, like globe style.
Yep.
We do maces. We do monkey bars, all kinds of different kind of monkey bars. We do like adjustable monkey bars and angled monkey bars and all kinds of fun stuff. So, and then, you know, we do custom stuff too. So if people can think of it, we can usually do it.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. You got anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and down. Well, you don't have to download anything. Go out and look at our three brand new products. Take a look, see what you like. If you got any questions, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and we will have a phone number now where you can reach me directly too. So any questions, you'll be able to get an answer pretty quickly. Also, too, go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, look at the shows we've done previous with Melody. We'll have this show up in the next 4 to 5 days. As I said, there is a ton of material out there. Obviously, now you learned how to do some shredding of things, as I like to say, tearing, all that good stuff. I mean, this is the stuff that you don't see a lot of this out anywhere. This is a lot of old world stuff, and obviously, there's no excuse saying that you're not strong enough to do it, because this girl can do anything as far as I'm concerned. And you go out and look at what she does, it's absolutely amazing. And she told you her height and her weight. So men, women, no excuse. If you want to get into this, obviously you know how to get a hold of Melody. You can fire something here and you can't get her, it'll always get forwarded. So think about those stuff. You want to better yourself all the time. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We thank everybody for that. If you have the ability, and all new cars do, and they do make aftermarket radios, go out to AHA. That's our directory where you can get Motivation Muscle 24/7 in your car every day of the week. And what we do with everything here, there's always three shows, the latest shows running, and what happens every time I put a new one up, the oldest one drops off. So you don't have to worry about not getting a fresh show. You're getting a fresh show every time you turn it on. Also, too, if you'd like a show for Melody and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com, and I'll leave you with a multitude of things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life, believe me. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. You don't know what these people have gone through, and I'll tell you, everybody's got the capacity in them to be nice to somebody, and you don't know whose life you're changing. Little things like that. Everybody just discounts those little things. I think they're big things, and everybody's got something to offer. And I just try to keep pushing this because there's a lot of people out there that could really need a little help and hand here and there. Don't be afraid to put yourself out. That's what strength is all about. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it, if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. As the great Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, who's been a guest on here, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years, my friend, and I thank you for that compliment. This guy was the greatest business professor I ever had in college, Frank Klein, and he used to say this word over and over. He used to drive me nuts, but now I totally understand it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad used to always say all the time, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor and like a father to me because my dad had passed away long before I met John, and John has been gone almost 3 years now. John died of cancer. But he would walk everybody to the door, no matter how busy he was, and he would say two words: keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your worst and best or best day and not smile. John would be very proud that I'm carrying on that legacy. John was a great guy, just like everybody. I think of those three and Jimmy, my brother, constantly. I mean, some of the best people I've ever had in my life. I was very fortunate and still am, believe me. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming. We won't knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join the family. Join our revolution. I'm telling you, you're going to have the best 28 to 30 years of your life. I promise you that. Also, too, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. And not many people in today's world are going to say that, believe me. But none of us here are like anybody else. We are exceptional, believe me. Melody, thanks for being on. It's always good to have you back, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure. So, for Melody Schoenfeld, this is Eric Fiorello. We will get her on again shortly. All I can say, everyone, is this. Just go out and do something great. It's not that hard. You got it all in you. Just do it. Have a great weekend, everybody. And you know something? I got to tell you, there's nothing more fun than doing this. This is just some great stuff. And I thank Melody and everybody else associated with the show and our family out there. Because without you, I couldn't do my job. And I thank you all immensely for that. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.